I want to begin by once again thanking our sponsors, Stephen and Deborah Plotzgren family with Zecher Nishmas Yisrael ben Avraham Yitzchak, also anonymously with Zecher Nishmas Kittel Bas Yitzchak Zev Aleha Shalom, and Shmuel Shalom ben Elimelech Spiegel Aleha Shalom. We wish that in the narrative, the learning we do today, the Neshamos should have an Aliyah. It's a very special privilege that I have today of introducing Rabbi Penner. Rabbi Penner and I go back more than 30 years. We've over the years had a very special, warm relationship. Anyone who you're friendly with in high school and you share a vision for the Jewish community, it's really special to welcome him back to our yeshiva. And Tzom Gedalia is about many things. I actually just spoke in my shiur about it. But most prominently, Tzom Gedalia is about a crisis in Jewish leadership. If the Jewish people themselves can't give respect and can't come together to support its leadership, you end up with Tzom Gedalia, where a Jew murders a Jewish leader who refused to believe that a Jew can do such a thing. We're celebrating here this morning outstanding Jewish leadership in a number of ways. Rabbi Penner, of course, has been rabbi in Holliswood, Holliswood Jewish Center for many years, has led his community there, and also has served in many different roles at Yeshiva University for many years, helping train the future Jewish leadership of our Jewish community, perhaps more than anyone else, involved in developing real Jewish leadership. And it takes someone who understands what it means to be a Jewish leader, to train Jewish leaders. Recently, in the last 2 years, Rabbi Penner has taken over as the Dean of REITS, that body that gives smicha to so many Jewish leaders that are serving our Jewish community throughout the entire United States and the world. And anyone who wants to know a little bit about who Rabbi Penner is, all you have to do is listen to the beautiful drasha that he gave at the Chag HaSmicha last year when YU ordained so many future Jewish leaders. About, he stands for what real Jewish leadership is. Knowing how to put trust and faith in our Mesorah, and yet at the same time to make sure that that leadership is understanding of where the people are, understanding of the challenges that individuals face in their individual communities. And Baruch Hashem, he has certainly, in the 30 plus years that I've known him, back from the days that he was already a leader in NCSY together back in the day, and throughout his career in leadership, he certainly represents what a true Jewish leader is about. And it's a great pleasure for me this morning to introduce to you the Dean of the Rabbi Isaac Chana Theological Seminary, Rabbi Menachem Penner.
You were always a lot taller than me. Move the microphone down. It is really inspiring to see how many people are here this morning. I think every time I come to DRS, I'm inspired in one way or another to see the work of my colleagues, Rabbi Kamenetsky and others, and of our students at Yeshiva, and to see the energy that is here. And not just the energy, but you see here the commitment of the parents to be here. It is not an easy morning to be here. It's just not an easy morning to be here. And it is a really beautiful and inspiring thing. I did not expect to see so many faces on a tainus morning like this. Gemach Sima Tova. We move from Rosh Hashanah to the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, and we start with a fast day, which is very, very convenient. Someone in my family noted last night that after a full 3 days of eating, whoever thought of a fast day on the first day of the Aseres Yimei Tshuva here really knew what they were doing. It was a great idea. What better day for a fast if we had a day that we could take off? But it is a little strange. Right? Of all days to have a fast day now, I mean, if we want to say that it's part of the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, there should be a fast day as part. Not only should we have Yom Kippur, but we should prepare about a week before, and we should. But that's not what it is. Tzom Gedalia just happens to fall out now. It just happens to fall out now. It's a tainus that has to do with the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. It's the last of the phases of the destruction of the Mikdash, which starts with the surrounding of the city in the winter. And then, as it were, several years later, but later in the calendar, the breaking of the city walls. And then the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. And finally, what happens to the people afterwards? What happens to the remnant, the Sheiris HaPleita? This throws us back to the summer. We're back in the 3 weeks. We're fasting now because of the Beis Hamikdash. But it happens to fall out right now. It happens to fall out right in the middle of the Aseres Yimei Tshuva at a time when there's so many other things on our mind. You can scream too. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that Tzom Hashvi Zesh Shlosha B'Tishrei Shibonera Gedalia Ben Achikam. Why are we fasting today? As Rabbi Kamenetsky said, because Gedalia Ben Achikam died. Gedalia Ben Achikam. Who was Gedalia Ben Achikam? He was, you know, one of those people in the Navi. Umi Harago. Who killed him? Yishmael Ben Netanya Harago. Interesting. L'lamedcha sheshkula misasan shel tzadikim kisreifas beis Elokeinu. To teach you a lesson that the death of the righteous is like the same as the destruction of the temple. This one doesn't seem to fit in. They surrounded the city of Yerushalayim. They broke the city walls. They destroyed the temple. And they killed a nice guy named Gedalia. No, he was a tzaddik. Killing a tzaddik is the same thing as destroying the Beis Hamikdash. The Marsha points out that if this were so, we'd be very thin. Every day a tzaddik dies? Every day a tzaddik dies? You know, you go to some shuls, they don't say tachanun when a tzaddik died. They never say tachanun. There's some tzaddik who died today. They don't have the minig to fast any day that a tzaddik died. So what's going on? The Marsha says, Im kein b'shar tzaddikim shemesu yikpa'u bo tzom. Every time a tzaddik dies, Gedalia was a great man. I don't want to take away. He's probably not in the top five. Top five tzaddikim to ever die, Gedalia ben Achikam. Why don't we have a fast whenever anybody dies? V'im kein ein l'chayom v'shone shelo yiyeh bo tzom shemes bo tzaddik. Every day is going to turn out. You can't eat ever. V'ka'amar, this is why Yom Harigas Gedalia min haklal lefi shahargo Yishmael ben Netanya. Ah, as Rabbi Kamenetsky said, this wasn't just the tzaddik who died, it's the tzaddik who died at the hand of a fellow Jew. He was killed by a fellow Jew, assassinated. Sha'al yidei kein yotzu kol ha'am me'aretz Yisrael le'mitzrayim ve'avru al nevuas Yirmiyahu k'mefurash b'kra. Ad kan what Rabbi Kamenetsky said, and then something else. Number one, it's different because he was killed by a fellow Jew. He was assassinated by a fellow Jew. How can it be that Jew could murder Jew, that Jew could murder a leader, and what an important leader, we'll see in a moment where that Gedalia was. But more than that, through this, they went to Egypt. Went to Egypt? Who went to Egypt? And they violated the prophecy of Yirmiyahu. The Rambam says something similar. Ve'elu hein, yom shlishi b'tishrei shebo ne'arag Gedalia ben Achicham. The reason why we're fasting today is because it happens to be that Gedalia ben Achicham was murdered, but the Rambam suggests that's not actually why we're fasting. It isn't because Gedalia was murdered on this day or yesterday or whenever it was. The nichbeis gachalas Yisrael hanishara v'sivev lahem galus. It put out the last bit of fire, the last spark of Klal Yisrael was put out. Let's understand what that means, and let's understand how this was the last stage in the galus. We're not going to see all four prakim of Yirmiyahu that you have before you. There are unfortunately a number of funerals happening this afternoon. I have to get to one of them soon. But I want to give a sense through the psukim of what was going on at the time of the murder of Gedalia. Sometimes just by reading Tanakh, it turns out there's amazing stuff just in Tanakh, without the commentators, without just the stories. Are very, very powerful. And they have so much to tell us about what's going on today, here, and especially in Eretz Yisrael. Hadavar asher haya el Yirmiyahu me'eis Hashem achar shalach oto nevuzaradan rav tabachim min haramah. The Jewish people are being exiled. The Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed. Most people have already turned off their radios, turned off their sets. As far as we know, the story is over. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. There's nothing else to talk about. Shavas, we say at the beginning of the kinos. Everything stopped. But not everyone was killed. The people were taken off to Bavel. This is us. This is the remnant of the Jewish people. It's the future. They're taken off to Bavel. And the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu can still sense HaKadosh Baruch Hu with him even as they're getting taken to Bavel. Vayikach rav tabachim liYirmiyahu vayomar elav Hashem Elokecha diber et hara hazot. Amazing. The captain says to him, I know why Jerusalem was destroyed, because your God said so. I believe in God. It says in the Navi Yirmiyahu, I believe in God, and your God destroyed this temple. And he says, and the Lord did as he spoke, Pasuk Gimel, and now behold, Pasuk Dalet, I loose thee these days from the chains which are on your hand. He says to Yirmiyahu, you've been very helpful. What was Yirmiyahu's role before the destruction? Yirmiyahu's role was to tell the people that it was basically over. Yirmiyahu said, it's not going to happen. We're going to go to Babylon. Buy real estate in Babylon. It's cheap now. It's going to become a Jewish neighborhood. You know what happens when the Jews move in. Buy real estate in Bavel. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to forgive us eventually, but after we go to Bavel. We're not going to be able to stop the destruction of the temple at this point. In a sense, he was helping. He seemed to help the Babylonians. Babylonians, after all, didn't really seem to want to destroy us. They just wanted us to behave. They just wanted to collect taxes. We kept rebelling again and again and again against the Babylonians. And Yirmiyahu said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's not with you anymore. He's not going to help you in this rebellion. Don't rebel. And they rebelled and they rebelled and the temple was destroyed. And they say to Yirmiyahu, you now have a choice. You can either go with the people to Bavel, or you can go back home. The Babylonians left a few Jews in Eretz Yisrael. They weren't interested in the land being desolate. They wanted taxes. What do you get taxes from? People doing business. People who are farmers. They weren't interested in everybody leaving. They wanted to make sure that the military was out, and the leadership was out, the politicians were out. The wealthy were out, all the people that had power. But Stam, the people that worked the fields, we've all seen this in Eretz Yisrael. You go around, you see the grapevines, that they wanted the people there. That's where the taxes are going to come from. The Dalat Haaretz, the lowest of the land. And Yirmiyahu decides to go back. He decides to go back. If you turn to Pasuk Vav, in Parak Mem in Yirmiyahu, Vayavo Yirmiyahu el Gedalia ben Achikam hamitzpata Vayeshev ito betocha am anisha'im ba'aretz. And the Navi Yirmiyahu goes back and he decides to join the Jewish people who remain in Israel. There were still Jews in Israel after the Babylonians conquered us. And they were put into the hands of, they were given to govern a man named Gedaliah. Who was Gedaliah? Gedaliah was from a family that happened to be friendly with Yirmiyahu's family. It's more important who Gedaliah wasn't. Gedaliah wasn't from Malchus Beis David. Why was he not from Malchus Beis David? Because why would the Babylonians want a true heir to the throne running the place? All they wanted was the Jews to stop rebelling. So they decided to put a Jewish governor in charge. Who knew the people better than a Jewish governor? And to send the message that it's going to be okay. Just listen to this man. Listen to us. And they specifically choose someone who's not Mizera HaMalchut, who's not from the royal line, Gedaliah ben Achikam. Vayishmu kol sarei hachayalim asher basadeh heimav ansheihem ki hifkid melech bavel et Gedaliah ben Achikam ba'aretz. And all the sleeper cells, that's what they were. The Babylonians thought that they only left a few poor farmers, but they hadn't checked every cave. They hadn't checked every valley. And there were bands of Jews who had gathered to fight to make a guerrilla force against the Babylonians who didn't know what to do now. They knew the war was lost, at least for now. And slowly but surely, they start to come out of their hiding places, knowing that the Babylonian soldiers have come home. And slowly but surely, they start to hear that the war's over and that Gedaliah is in charge. Vayavo el Gedaliah hamitzpata, v'Yishmael ben Netanyahu, v'Yochanan, v'Yonatan ben Kareach, u'Seraya, all the generals of these little bands, all these powerful people start coming out. You can imagine they didn't come out at once. They don't know what Gedaliah is going to do with them, right? Is Gedaliah going to turn over everybody to the Babylonians? He wants peace. He just wants them to do what they're supposed to. But slowly but surely, he gathers them together and somehow Gedaliah wins their trust. Somehow he wins their trust. He tells them, I will interface with Bavel. It's on me. I'm going to do it. Vayishava lehem Gedaliahu posuk tet ben Achikam ben Shafan ulanshem lemor al tiru me'avod hakasdim. Don't be afraid. It's over. The war is over. Shavu va'aretz v'ivduet melech bavel v'yitav lachem. I don't know how he has the guts to say that, but he promises them it's going to be good. When was it? The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Av. It's a month later. The fields, it's almost Chag HaAsif. The fields are ripe with fruit and nobody to pick them. He says, I will work on the politics. I will talk to Bavel. I'll take care of it all. You harvest the field. Go back to life. You're the rest of the Jewish people. You're the only thing we've got. You're the only people left in Eretz Yisrael. Work the land. Harvest. I know it's so sad you're going to walk into the fields of people who've been killed. You're going to go to harvest the fields of neighbors that you know were taken away hostage. But you have to rebuild Eretz Yisrael. You're the only thing we have left. And somehow he wins their trust. Somehow he wins their trust. Well, at least most of them. Pasuk Yudbet, Vayashuvu kol ha-Yehudim mikol ha-Mekomot, ashenit chusham, vayavo Eretz Yehuda. Everybody comes back. Vayasfu yayin v'kayetz harbei ma'od. They go into the wine business. Everything is going back to normal. The Yochanan ben Kereach, Pasuk Yud Gimel, v'chol sarei hachayalim asher basadeh, bo'u el Gedaliah hamitzpata. And then some of the generals come to Gedaliah, and they say, Hayadoa teida, ki ba'alis melech b'nei Amon shalach et Yishmael lehakotecha. Watch your life. Watch it. Because Ammon, where did Ammon live? On the other side of the Jordan River. Right? Ammon had a tremendous interest in the Jews being kicked out of Israel. Because there was all this land and all these crops, and who ultimately was going to get them? Ammon saw a power, saw the ability to extend to the other side of the Jordan River. But unfortunately, they left some Jews there. And they left the Jews in the hands of Gedaliah ben Achikam, who was appointed by the Babylonians. And they had an idea. If we could kill the head of the Jews, then the Babylonians will kick him out. But if we kill him, they'll get angry at us. So what do we got to do? We got to make sure that one of them, if a Jew will kill, not just the tzaddik, not just the leader, but the leader appointed by the Babylonians will see this as the final act of rebellion. Even you Jews who are the Dalat Haaretz, even you farmers, you're so dumb, you're going to kill the person that we put as governor? Everybody out. Comes Ammon and says, you know what? Hello, I'll take over. I'll work the crops. I'll pay you taxes. It's a great plan. How are you going to find a Jew who's going to do that? So they found Yishmael ben Netanya. Why? Because Yishmael ben Netanya is Mizera HaMachut. The only people who were very upset about where things were was the family of the kings of David. Yishmael said, I agree that we should listen to the Babylonians. I agree that we should stay here. I agree we should have a leader. But it's got to be me. It's got to be me. So you put these two interests together. Ammon, who would like the Jews to assassinate their leader and get kicked out of Israel. And Yishmael, who's convinced that he's doing it because he's the rightful heir. And they come and they tell Gedaliah. And Gedaliah won't listen. The Yochanan ben Kereach, Pasuk Tedvav, Amar El Gedaliah, Baseter, Bamitzpah, Lemor, El Chana, Ve'aket, Yishmael, I'll do it. I'll do the deed. You don't have to get your hands dirty. Ve'ish lo yeda, no one will know. Lama yakeka nefesh, ve'nafotsu kol Yehuda hanikbatzim elecha. Gedaliah, you can't afford to miss this one. If you get killed by a fellow Jew, if this plot is true, we're all gone. Ve'avda she'rit Yehuda. He could see that on Gedaliah's face. Gedaliah's like, what? Yishmael, we just had coffee. He's my good friend. He said, this is not a time for thinking who's your friend. Everything's on the line. The whole Jewish settlement in Eretz Yisrael can be destroyed if you make this mistake. Vayomer Gedaliahu ben Achikam el Yochanan ben Kereach, al tas set hadavar hazeh, ki sheker ata dover el Yishmael. And he doesn't listen. There's a fine line between accepting Lashon Hara and having a bit of a concern that perhaps it might be true. The story that unfolds is a disaster. They come on Rosh Hashanah, they come to Gedaliah's home, they come to Mitzpah, and they surprise them. Pasuk Bet in the next parak, Vayakam Yishmael ben Netanya v'aseret ha'anashim asher hayu ito vayaku et Gedaliah ben Achikam ben Shafan b'cheref vayamet oto asher ifkid melech bavel baretz. Look at that pasuk. Vayamet oto, they killed him. Don't think we're fasting today because they killed him. Vayamet oto asher ifkid melech bavel baretz. The Jews were given one last chance. How could you do this? How could you put, because of your own ego, how could you put the entire settlement that's left in Eretz Yisrael in danger? But they kill him. Because people do that. Because when people think about their own interests, they simply stop to think about the ramifications of what they're doing. One thing leads to another, and the story is very, very dramatic. You can follow in the psukim. They go, they end up killing more and more people. They have to kill everybody who's in the city. Then a bunch of people come. They're coming down from the north, Nebuch. They heard the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. They're coming and they're in tatters. And he kills them too. And it's then the people have to figure out what to do. The story doesn't end there. Because you see, eventually they're able to put down this little rebellion and things go back to normal. But the real problem is as follows. In Perek Membet, Vayikshu kol sareach hayalim, listen closely, v'yochanan ben kereach, v'yazna ben oshaya, v'chol ami katon v'gadol. Everybody comes to Yirmiyahu. Vayomru el Yirmiyahu anavi, tipolna techinatenu lefanecha. V'hitpalel ba'adenu el Hashem elokecha. They come to Yirmiyahu and they say, we're dead. We're dead. Now what do we do? We're not going to be able to convince the Babylonians that this was one guy. This is crazy. The Beis HaMikdash was just destroyed. It's a couple of months later. It's just September. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in August. It's Rosh Hashanah time. And we murdered the representative that the Babylonians gave us? What are we going to do? V'hitpalel ba'adenu el Hashem elokecha ba'ad kol ha'sherit hazot. Please, Yirmiyahu, please pray for us. Ki nisharnu me'at meharbei kasher enecha ra'ot. What are we going to do? V'yaged lanu Hashem elokecha et haderech asher nelech ba. Go to God, find out from God, what do we do next? It turns out they had two options. Stay or run. Where are they going to run? Egypt. They could stay in Israel or they could run to Egypt. And they decide to go to Yirmiyahu the prophet and ask him what to do. And boy is Yirmiyahu surprised. Because one thing, if you know the Navi Yirmiyahu, that they never do is ask him his opinion. This is a man whose whole terrible career has been telling people things they don't want to hear and they just walk away. And in fact, they tried to kill him because of what he had to say. So it's kind of ironic that finally the people are coming and saying, okay, now the fact is, he was right. He said the end is near, and it was. So you could imagine that at this point, no one thought the Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed. But it was. And everything he said happened. And the people did get exiled to Babel. So now they come to Yirmiyahu and they say, Yirmiyahu, we're sorry. You were right. Tell us what to do next. Vayomer aleihem Yirmiyahu anavi shamati hineni mitpalel el Hashem elokeichem. I'll pray to God. I'll find out what to do. And they say, Vav im tov v'imra b'kol Hashem Elokeinu asher anachnu shalchim otcha elav nishma. They say, you just give us an answer. We know you're right. We should have listened to you all along. Whatever God says, we're going to do. For some strange reason, it takes them 10 days to get back there. It's a mystery we don't understand. Vayhi miketz aseret yamim pasuk zayin vayhi dvar Hashem el Yirmiyahu. Vayikra al Yochanan ben kereach ve'al kol sareach ha'ilim. He gathers them around and he said, Kama Hashem elokei Yisrael. Pasuk yud im shov teshvu ba'aretz hazot uvaniti etchem. God's answer. Final answer. The final answer. Stay in Israel. I will build you and you will no longer be destroyed. I'm finished punishing you. I have faith in you. I believe that you can put this back together. Al tiru mipnei melech bavel asher atem yireim. Don't be afraid of the king of Bavel. I'm stronger than him.
Al tiru mimenu ne'um Hashem, ki itchem ani lehoshi etchem ulatzil etchem miyado.
But Pasuk Yigimel, v'im omrim atem lo ne'shev ba'aretz hazot.
If you say, Pasuk Yudalet, ki eretz Mitzrayim navo,
and there won't be any war there, then I promise you, I will kill you in Egypt.
Takes 10 days, but the answer of Yirmiyahu is very clear. Gedaliah is dead. It was a terrible thing, but that's not why you should fast. Gedaliah is dead, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises you that he will be with you, and all you need to do now is stay put. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises you that he is with you. He has forgiven you.
Perek Mem Gimel. Vayhi kechalot Yirmiyahu ledaber al kol ha'am et kol divrei Hashem elokeichem. Vayomer pasuk bet, sheker ata medaber.
Sheker ata medaber. The same word that Gedaliah had said to the generals who told him he was about to be killed. The same word, sheker. Can you believe this? Poor Yirmiyahu. They finally asked him his opinion. They finally told him, whatever you say, this time we're going to listen. And he comes back to them and he says he's got good news for a change. He's never had good news before. He's got good news. The good news is Hashem is with you and it's going to be wonderful. Stay in Eretz Yisrael. And they say, you're a liar.
We're going to Egypt. And the last Jews in Eretz Yisrael go to Egypt willingly. You know what that means?
There were four stages of the galus. There were four stages of the destruction, four stages of the Churban. The first, the surrounding of the city. The second, the breaking the city walls. And then the temple was destroyed. And then we weren't kicked out of Israel. We left by ourselves. The last stage of the Churban, we walked out ourselves. Nobody did that to us. That's why we're mourning today. We're not mourning today just because Gedaliah was killed, but because what happened after Gedaliah was killed, that the destruction was completed, and there were no Jews, or very few Jews. The Jews basically left Eretz Yisrael. But think about it. We did that to ourselves. No enemy did that to us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already forgiven us, but we couldn't believe it. So amazing, because all the time Yirmiyahu, poor Yirmiyahu, all of his career, he tried to tell the people that the temple would be destroyed, and we wouldn't believe it. And now he told us, but God forgave us, and they couldn't believe that either.
What a tragedy. All the other stages of the Churban were done to us by our enemies. But it turns out that the final nail in the coffin of the Churban Bayis Rishon was placed willingly by Jews who couldn't believe that Hashem had forgiven them. That's the tragedy of Tzon Gedaliah. We mourn not just the end, the completion of the process that started with the surrounding of Jerusalem, but we mourn the fact that we did it to ourselves, and we did it because we couldn't believe that Hashem would ever forgive us given what we had done. And what could be more powerful message? A week before Yom Kippur. Yes, Tzom Gedaliah is there because we're mourning the temple and we're mourning the loss of the Jewish settlement in Eretz Yisrael. But it's far from a coincidence that it falls out a week before a day that we have to believe what we find it hard to believe, that God is actually going to forgive us for all that stuff that we really did. It's funny because we kind of suffer from two different poles of belief. On the one hand, we didn't really think we did anything. Many of the things we did, we just excuse, and we're so sure God will forgive us. But when it comes down to it, the things that I struggle with the most, I find it very, very difficult to believe. How could God possibly forgive? And then comes Tzom Gedaliah. And Tzom Gedaliah tells us that God believes in us more than we believe in ourselves.
God believes in us more than we believe in ourselves, and he always has, if we would only listen. I tell a story of a fellow who was on trial for murder and didn't look good. It was pretty clear that he did the deed. They had witnesses. They had, in fact, a confession. They had everything there. It was kind of silly that the thing went to trial in the first place. The one thing they didn't have was a body. And the fellow's up on trial for murder, and his defense attorney really doesn't know what to do anymore. So during his closing arguments, he says to the jury, he says, "You know, I understand this looks bad. I can get it. But the fact is, you can't convict a man if you don't know if he actually killed, if there isn't a body. And I know you think there's a body, but I'm telling you, that person is still alive. That person is still alive. And how can you convict my client if the person is still alive? And in fact, to prove it to you, he will walk right now through those doors." Nobody walked through the doors. The guy was dead. But he says to the jury, "You all turned around. Looks like reasonable doubt to me. If you don't even know if the person's dead, how can you convict them?" About 10 minutes, the jury comes back guilty. And he thought this was really the best movie ever had. He never learned this in law school. This was a great case. And he asked one of the jurors on the way out, he said, "You know, I thought I made a really good argument." He said, "Everybody turned around." He goes, "Yeah, everybody turned around, except for your client. We're the only ones, Rabosai. We're the only ones who don't believe that we can change. We're the only ones who believe we can't change. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that we could be so much more. And instead of being so concerned, we need to believe in ourselves the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu believes in us. The message of Tzom Gedalia. We are mourning, as the Marsha said, as the Rambam said, we are mourning not just for the death of Gedalia, and not just because the Jewish community in Eretz Yisrael was exiled, but we mourn for the death, for the loss of belief in ourselves. That is the message, I believe, of Tzom Gedalia, such a powerful message for this week. Mirtz Hashem, we should believe in ourselves just half as much as the Ribono Shel Olam believes in us. And through that, we should grow, we should change, we should reach our potential and merit a Gemar Chasima Tova.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Petner. Gemar Chasima Tova to everyone.
Just the symbol on the picture of Rashi and Zimu, that sounds like they convicted themselves.